Good morning to all of you. It's a blessing to be here. Before we begin, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we're gathered here, Lord, we just ask that you could be with me as I try to share these few thoughts that you've given me, Lord. Just ask that you could share what you want me to, Lord, and that alone, Father. Lord, we just ask that you could bless the service and everybody that's here. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Okay, this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about faith. And I have as much to learn as anybody does here about this. It's not like I've got it attained or, yeah, there's a lot. I'm preaching on it, maybe you might say, because it's something I need more of in my life. And so it's going to be a little bit more of a word study, you might say. I don't know. So we'll begin by going to Matthew 21, verse 18 and 22 through 22. Okay, verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the midst of the sea, unto the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So we see Jesus was walking maybe to town or wherever he was headed. And he sees this fig tree, and he comes to it. And in Mark, it says that it wasn't even time for figs yet, but apparently it had a lot of leaves, and he thought maybe there'd be some figs on that tree. And it says there was none. And so Jesus cursed the fig tree, and I think part of the reason he did this was for an opportunity to illustrate or explain. Gave him an opportunity to talk to his disciples about faith and also to us.
I think Mark says it was the next day that the fig tree withered. Here it doesn't say. It just says the disciples marveled at how soon it was, but. In other words, it was a miracle that the fig tree was already withered up. So we'll start by looking at verse 21 here. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this that was done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. So, if we think about that, the key there is the doubt not, it says. And maybe that sounds hard, you know, it's hard to believe something that you can't see, maybe. But if we think about who we're putting our faith in, God is the most sure thing that ever existed. You know, we see a tree and it looks pretty sure, but it's not as sure as God because it can wither away pretty fast. It's solid, and God is solid, and He's not going to change. So if we think about how it would look if we could just go stand beside the angels and watch us on this life. From there we could see ourselves as God sees us, and from there we could see God and how sure and unchanging he is. We could see his power, his faithfulness, his love, his tenderness towards us. And then look and watch us poor weak humans who can't do anything for ourselves, fear and tremble about all the things we see and changes we face when God has them already under control. But worse than that is, the next time we face a challenge is, there's God with all this power to help us overcome our challenges, and we don't even ask him. We don't even stop to think. We think we're big enough to do this ourselves, and we can handle this. And there's all this power that God has, and we're all fearful already, and we don't even stop to ask him. I think if we truly got a glimpse of God and his power, truly got a glimpse of his power, his surety, his love, and his willingness to help us, we would never fear again. The only fear left that would be left then would be the fear of God. So have faith and doubt not. It isn't asking too much of us, I don't think. There, and then the promise is ours. In verse 22, and all these things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Here he says, asking anything in prayer, believing, and there's some terms and conditions there, I think. This doesn't include selfish desires of our heart or anything like that. This is if our heart is pure, we're asking for good things. James 4, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So we see that there's conditions to the way we ask. So I have a couple examples. It might not pertain to anybody, but so pretend we're playing a ball game here, and I think, you know, yesterday or whatever, we think, you know, God help me hit a home run, and you hit the ball and it doesn't go very far, and somebody catches, and you're like, well, that's not what I asked for. But the problem is, what would have happened if God would have helped you hit the home run? Would he have got the glory, or would I have? And I think that makes a big difference on if he answers our prayers or not. Or another example, we're driving down the road and we get in a traffic jam and we think, wow, we need to get where we're going. And so, God, clear this traffic out of the way so we can get going here. And it doesn't help. There's traffic is still there. Traffic is there. Well, maybe God is answering the prayer you prayed this morning to help you with patience instead. And it's not just, we don't always see his whole motive. And we can't see ahead. We don't have his foresight. And so I think if we pray in faith and leave it there, and just because it doesn't seem like God answered doesn't mean he didn't. There's also time. Maybe the best time to answer your prayer is a week from now or something. It's not always right when we think it is. So we lack the foresight in that, and I think we can just trust God with it all. At the same time, we still do need to pray. We can't just trust God to take care of all of our things and never ask for anything. Let's look at Matthew 9, 27 through 31. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they went, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that land. So we see that Jesus didn't heal the blind man, give them back their sight before they asked him. It would have been easy for him to do, but they needed to come to him with requests. And when we have requests, we need to go to God and pray for them, even if he already knows about them. It's part of our relationship. And then if we notice in verse 29, he says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And Jesus didn't always answer people's requests that way. He didn't always say that. But I had to think, what would have happened if one man had faith and the other one didn't? One just came along to see what had happened. Jesus said, according to your faith, then only one man would have been healed. I think Jesus still answers prayers according to your faith today. Maybe your motives are right, but you don't have faith. It's a good thing, but you don't really believe God can do it, but you're asking him anyhow, and he might not answer your prayer if you don't have the faith. I'd like to get a little more on the definition here of faith. Here again, I'm just learning, and I'm by no means the best one to be sharing on this. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this one goes way beyond me. But so we'll just look at it, break it down a little bit. Substance here is exactly that. It's physical. It's something you can hold, you can see. So faith is the physical part of things we hope for. It gives us reality. It gives reality to the things we hope for. Faith is the evidence of things we can't see. One man said, faith is the efficiency of prayer. It's what you use to get your work done, like the fuel in your bulldozer. We have proof of things we have never seen because we were promised them by one who can't lie. So it's the evidence, it's the proof of things we can't see because we know that the person who promised them can't lie. So God told us there is a place called heaven, for example. Now, if we didn't know God's character, we didn't know who he was, we wouldn't necessarily believe him. But we all know God, and we all know he never lies. He's never lied to us. Therefore, we believe there's a place called heaven because we have faith that God can't lie. The evidence to heaven is our faith in God not being able to lie. You know, people that you normally only believe if it sounds about right, but because they have lied to you many times, but that's not God. God can't lie. We'll just drop on down in Hebrews 11 here to verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him to for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here we see that in verse 6 it says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. And that's very true, because faith is we're converted. I have it right. I'm gonna get my words messed up. It's the means by which we are saved, and if we don't have faith, we can't be saved. And there's a lot of other things a lot of other things that depend on our salvation, that our faith depends on in our walk with Christ, that we need faith to, when we pray, God doesn't necessarily answer our prayers. If we don't have faith, He also doesn't, if they're selfish and other things as well. But we need faith to have a walk with God, because without faith, we don't even know that God exists. So in summary here, I just have a couple comments. Faith is the most important ingredient in your Christian life. I think it's the most, the core of your Christian life. I believe our faith is a gauge to the potential as a Christian. If we don't have any faith, we just have a little faith, that's about all we'll ever get done. Faith is our power. It's our means by which we are saved. It's the key to understand the Bible. It's the ingredient of healthy relationship with God. In short, it's the most important thing we possess, and the more of it we possess, the more useful we'll be for God. So that's all I have. I hope it could be a blessing to all of you as it was for me. It's changes the way you look at things, I think. So thank you all for listening, and God bless.